head to the Metroplex. Big D, Dallas Cowboys coming into town to take on the Atlanta Falcons. Our man, Bobby Belt, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, part of the Sean and RJ show in the morning, and you hear him all the time there. Bobby, it's good to have you on the show. I heard Mike McCarthy this week say that they're not taking care of the football, and he didn't say Dak Prescott specifically, but we know Prescott has thrown two interceptions in the last three games each game. So was that one of those unspoken messages about what's going on with this offense right now?
I think certainly the turnovers are a big part of it. I also think that Mike McCarthy has a tendency to provide CYA analysis a lot of times with the offense and how things are playing out. And so, yeah, whether it was a veiled shot or not, or any sort of attempt to obfuscate, potentially it would fall in line with how he's, approached taking responsibility for things at times, which has not always been head on. And so Dak's got to play better. He's not been good this season. This has been by far the worst year of his career. But Mike McCarthy's the one in the contract here. He's got to show up. And this roster, while it is a little bit more depleted, it's banged up. They lost a lot of depth this offseason. It's not bad enough to excuse the way they've played.
Is it comparable with the Jets, or just not at that level?
It's different. It's bad like the Jets, but it's bad in a different way, I feel like. The Jets were... It felt like undue expectations to me, and a lot of banking on, we're going to believe Aaron Rodgers is still who he was. Tyron Smith isn't, some past his prime former Hall of Famer, and, adding all these older players. That felt very much to me like 2000 Washington, like when Daniel Snyder thought they were going 16-0. That's what the Jets feel like. The Cowboys are three straight 12-win seasons. They've been a legitimate, contender for the NFC the last few years, and then they get into January and things just fall apart. This just more feels like a sad ending to a contending window is what this feels like.
Yeah, we talk about windows all the time on our show. Bobby, what's wrong with Micah? What's the deal, and why is this taking so long for him to get back from it?
I mean, I think high ankle sprains, obviously those can be finicky and they'll, linger for a long time. But specifically with edge rushers, I mean, guys like Micah who are trying to bend the corner and use that flexibility in their lower half to dip under tackles and, win their reps that way, it's especially going to linger longer with him, I think. It was a bad ankle sprain in the first place when he had it happen. I think they thought initially 4 to 6 weeks. We're just past the 4-week mark now, so 5. So, I think we're getting closer. But Friday, or Saturday as it stands now, on Friday, I don't think Sunday against Atlanta is a reasonable possibility. It'd be more the week after where I think you start considering he might have a chance to play.
It is a Bobby Belt guy from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Carolina and the Cowboys are tied for giving up the most rushing yards. We want to run the football. We're not great at it either. We're like 11th as far as giving up the most yards. You see us having our will and getting our way running the football on Sunday.
I see you having your way any way you want it, honestly. I don't think they have anybody to cover Kyle Pitts. I think the really varied way varied approach and then skill set of the skill players there, Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, I think they're all really difficult matchups for Dallas in different ways. And look, San Francisco had a lot of success throwing middle of the field in intermediate depths, and that's the Atlanta approach a lot of times, with Kirk Cousins and the way that he throws the football. And so I think they're going to have such a hyper focus on trying to make sure that they don't get beat and get beat by yards after catch by Mooney or Pitts or whoever else, that I think it's going to be even more difficult for them to slow down the run like the way they normally would. Atlanta's run the ball. I saw the note this week. Atlanta's run the ball on the outside the tackles more frequently than anybody else in the NFL this season. And that is exactly where Dallas is vulnerable and just cannot get to the edges quick enough. They read the run plays slow. They're not quick on their keys. I think if Atlanta wants to run the ball 40 times, they will be the fifth team this year to run for 180-plus on the Cowboys. That's just where things are at with that run defense right now. They're not very good. And I think that's the thing that's hard for the Cowboys and Jerry and fans to grapple with right now, is that they're looking for answers as to, well, what's wrong? What's happening here? What's going on here? There's nothing wrong other than just you're not good. You are not a good football team right now.
It That's what I've been saying, Bobby. And I know Cowboy fans here are like, yeah, you're just saying that. No, they're not good.
No,
Bobby,
they're really bad.
Let me ask you about the running back situation. Why didn't Jerry go out and address this? Listen, the Ezekiel Elliott thing, everybody likes Zeke. Nice guy. He can't play anymore. Why didn't he go out and address the running back situation, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, so they were a little bit of a victim of circumstance in that, I mean, they made a bad move. They traded a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance. I think the sweet spot in the draft this year was the fourth round to go get a running back. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the five picks immediately after the pick that Dallas traded away for Trey Lance, within the five picks after that pick this past spring, it was Bucky Irving went to the Buccaneers, Ray Davis went to the Bills, and Isaac Grendo went to the 49ers. And Grendo tore him up the other day, and Ray Davis has been good in Buffalo, and Bucky Irving, I know you guys have seen him a couple times this year, he's been impressive for the Buccaneers. So that was one part of it in the draft run. And then I think Jerry would have loved to have gone out there and got Derrick Henry. I know Derrick Henry has been a big pressure point for him, and he keeps just insisting, well, we couldn't afford him, and we couldn't do this and that. I think Jerry wanted to do it. Jerry is not as much of a rule with an iron fist guy anymore as much as he is a builder of consensus. And he has a front office group and guys he's put in charge, and he sits there kind of as an executive with his veto pen and overrides things occasionally. But generally, he's just there to oversee consensus, figure out what it is, and apply it. And I think that's what he did with Derrick Henry. I think he would have liked to have gone and got him, and he was being told, we can't afford it. And so he didn't pursue it, and I think that's part of why he gets so frustrated when it comes up. But Derrick Henry, it doesn't have to be Derrick Henry. J.K. Dobbins was cheaper than Ezekiel Elliott. There have been other running backs that are out there this year that have been cheaper than Ezekiel Elliott who have been more efficient. So it's not a total pass because they could have done more. But right. I think a lot of it is also just circumstances put them in a bad spot. And I can see how some of the misevaluations were made or how they missed opportunities to be able to, you know, cash in on a running back.
Bobby Belt from down in Dallas breaking it down for us here on Dukes and Bell. We asked a question yesterday, so I'll ask you because you're dialed in. Why didn't they just fire McCarthy after that humiliating loss to the Packers?
Look, Jerry Jones is not going to pay somebody to do nothing for him. He's not going to pay you to go sit on a beach.
Is that why some of the coaches like Garrett last so long down there?
I think part of it, yeah. I think he wanted Garrett to work out because Garrett was like a family member for the Joneses. With McCarthy, I think it's just they were going through their evaluation, and I think they looked at this two ways. One, I'm not going to pay you to do nothing. You're not going to get a full year's salary to just go sit on a beach while I pay another coach. And then I think the other thing was just they were kind of in a year of transition and evaluation and trying to figure out who they wanted to have here for the long run. So, yeah, I think they were kind of fine just saying, you know what, let's write out one-year deals on a few different people and make a final determination and see exactly who we want to hit the reset button on. But I would be absolutely stunned if Mike McCarthy were here next year. In fact, I don't see that as a realistic possibility. I didn't make the joke at the time. We were interviewing McCarthy this morning on the Fan, and Sean, our co-host, had made some joke about Halloween with him, and he said, "Well, Coach, you know, next year we'll try to get you to do yada yada yada." And I did want to break in and be like, "Where are you going to see him next year? Because he's not going to be on the phone line. He's not going to be here."
Yeah, he's not. Bobby, how do you see this game playing out, man? Is it closer than we think? I mean, listen, the Cowboys know they are in a tough spot. They need to go win a game and try to get things going again and hopefully get healthy. But what do you think happens on Sunday?
I don't know how Dallas is going to be able to consistently slow down Atlanta on offense. I think that they'll do their level best to provide resistance. I don't think effort was an issue against San Francisco. I think they were more disciplined on defense than they've been in recent weeks, and they still gave up 220 rushing yards. Like, they're just, they don't have the personnel right now. They're just not very good. And I think some of the ways that they typically fall into bad habits are ways that Atlanta can stress you, just with the run game on the perimeter and some of the stuff they like to do on the middle of the field and with crossing routes and things like that. And so all of that's going to be really difficult, I think, for Dallas to handle. So I would be surprised if Atlanta has to punt the ball more than two times on Sunday, to be honest.
Wow.
And so I think Dallas can take advantage of some things on offense, though. I think if Atlanta can't generate pass rush, that'll give Dallas a chance with a young offensive line that's struggled and with a Scott Novak crew that's calling this that doesn't call a lot of offensive holding. I think that gives Dallas a chance to finally settle into some good habits and what they want to do throwing the ball down the field, which they haven't really had an opportunity to do. But even with that said, I think it'll be I'd take the over on it. I'd say that, but this morning I picked Atlanta 38-24. So okay. I think that Atlanta wins this game pretty handily.
And that gets me in the over too, as well. By the way, over under. By the way, just last nugget, just to follow up with Carl's take. Why does Dak get so tight? And why? Where do the interceptions come from? Is he forcing it? Is it a mental thing? Because he's the highest paid freaking quarterback in the league.
Well, I mean, I think if you read the ESPN articles, apparently it's because there are tours at the facility or something. That they just get really distracted, I guess, by tours is part of it, at least if you listen to former players. But, no, for Dak, I think it's – look, when he had the 15 interception year in 2022, there were a lot of people who thought that was overblown with the Cowboys, where the vast majority of those interceptions that year came on option routes where receivers read them the wrong way. And they broke the wrong way, and Dak was throwing to the break on the option route. Player didn't read it the right way, and then a defensive back was just there to pick it off. So that's what happened a lot the other day. This year, he's just been objectively not good. And I think it's concerning to an extent, obviously, because he's playing so poorly. But I think a large portion of it, or there's a thought process that says, how much of this is potentially just an offense he doesn't feel very comfortable in? I don't think he's ever felt comfortable in Mike McCarthy's offense. He was great in the second half of last year after they sort of toned down what McCarthy's influence was, and Dak was calling a lot of it at the line of scrimmage. But now that they've got two rookie offensive linemen and they're back to a lot of the McCarthy concepts and trying to run a really old, outdated version of the West Coast offense, I think it's clear he's just not very comfortable in it. And it just doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of will by anybody on the offense right now to put up a fight for the ideas and concepts they want. Because it feels like a lot of guys are just trying to run out the clock on McCarthy's contract and just say, you know, we're going to have somebody else here. Let's just get through this year. That's at least the read I get. Nobody said that, obviously, but it's the vibe you get off of their body language when they approach things or the exhausted answers that they give you. So I don't think Dak's been very good this year. I think his lack of time with CD during training camp has showed up in their communication and caused for some of these interceptions. But unlike a couple of years ago where a lot of it could be put on receivers at times, this has been wholly on Dak Prescott this season.